This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented for the second season in a row by my friends at Hooters. You know, I'd like to hear more about Hooters. It is my podcast. They do present it, so let's do that right now.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
Thank you to Hooters. And for those of you in the Tampa Bay area, you have 12 locations under the original Hooters name to visit. And you can find out the location nearest you at originalhooters.com. For those of you listening around the United States and internationally, think about it. And there you go. You know where your nearest or most convenient Hooters location is. Also, I just saw Ty last night at the location on Hillsborough Avenue. Ty waited on all of us at the podcast drafts back in August, and she has a full picture in the new 2019 Hooters calendar, which is out and available for purchase at all Hooters locations right now. And Ty was great to us. She's good to me. You can always see her if you go to the Hillsborough location on Thursday night. To watch the Thursday night football game, Ty is the lovely Hooters girl working behind the bar on Hillsborough Avenue, just west of Dale Mabry. All right, and tell her you listen to the podcast. It'll freak her out at first, but she'll be fine. So anyway, here we go. Let's just dive right into it again. The email, and many of you are starting to get more creative about ways to get information from me so you can pick your starters so I don't do it, rather than asking the A or B question or here are my five, I need three. I just want to talk about players. I want to give you the information. You make your final decisions on your teams as we move into week five. Bye weeks for the Bucks, bye weeks for the Bears. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. All right, let's see if I can make this a shorter podcast and yet still hit on all the Sunday and Monday games. I'm going to try. And this is, we're doing this in the 4 o'clock Eastern time hour on Friday. And so that's the sort of the timestamp on the information available to me to put into these thoughts. All right, 1 o'clock games on Sunday. Packers and Lions. Lions have been shredded on the ground. I was big on Aaron Jones last week. Look, he didn't produce Alvin Kamara numbers, but he produced. This could be another good Aaron Jones spot. More and more, even one of the gentlemen on Roto World, whoever does the waiver wired, I think it's Summerlin, said Jamal Williams is on the verge of being dropped because it's clear Aaron Jones is the better player. I've felt that way all along. The problem with Aaron Jones is he's not really, he's kind of a Jordan Howard type. Can't catch the ball out of the backfield, or a Ronald Jones type. He also has missed some blitz pickups in the past, and on Aaron Rodgers, that's not good. He had a key block in a recent game that kept him on the field. They need to see that, but he's just a more explosive running back. So Aaron Jones in that spot. Packers are really banged up at wide receiver. No Cobb, maybe no Allison. Davante Adams is I think Davante Adams is going to play. And again, I've always believed it's the quarterback that makes wide receivers, not wide receivers that make the quarterback. You could have Davante Adams, Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr., and let me just throw out a name for the Pat, and Jerry Rice. And if you got a quarterback who can't throw the ball accurately, what's the point? I believe it's Valdez Scantling is getting some run. I think that's just such a desperate play. I mean, for a tournament play in DFS, I get it. But I don't think that's someone you're picking up, plugging, and playing in a season-long league. From the Lions standpoint, at this point with Kerryon Johnson, it looks like he should play more. But Blunt is still getting touches, and Riddick is still getting touches. So if you have Kerryon Johnson, good for you. You probably want to see more of him. Unfortunately, the Lions aren't using him more. Maybe they're managing his reps for whatever reason, or he gets game flowed out because they prefer to use Riddick throwing him the ball out of the backfield. Wide receiver wise, Packers defense has been, it's been okay. Nothing wrong with it. It's not bad. It's not great. It's probably it's average to good, but I don't know that that's a matchup where you look at the Packers and say, well, I'm not playing Galladay, or I'm not playing Jones, or I'm not playing Tate. I think you use your best judgment there if you own any of the three Lion wide receivers who all seem to be getting enough volume on a regular basis for you to consider using them on a regular basis. Titans and Bills. Titans off their best performance of the year. Grant, they beat the Jaguars in week three. But Corey Davis had a huge game. Finally, first NFL touchdown, game-winning touchdown to beat the Eagles. Taywan Taylor, without Rashard Matthews on the roster, Taywan Taylor may be on the road to doing some things on a consistent basis, and last week was a step in that direction. Still, Derrick Henry looks just like he can't make anybody miss. They keep feeding him the ball, and he's not doing very much with it. Deion Lewis doesn't play enough to do anything spectacular. He's okay to play, but there's just not much going on there in the running game. It was a strong bounce back game for Mariota, who did look healthy for the first time in a while in that win against the Eagles. Going up against the Bills, some have suggested this is a trap spot for the Titans. I just think the Bills are bad. I know they beat the Vikings a couple of weeks ago, but more than anything else, that might just tell us that the Vikings defense is just not very good. Josh Allen had a horrible game last week. There's more bad things on McCoy, you know, plugging and playing. Who is it? Chris Ivory. I mean, his week three kind of came out of nowhere. It's more of a one-off. Kelvin Benjamin is probably someone you're not even rostering, so there's not a lot to and Charles Clay is always sort of a tight end who looks like he can help you in fantasy and doesn't help you in fantasy. Ravens and Browns. Ravens coming off the win against the Steelers. This is an offense that is shifting more to vertical and downfield passing, maybe getting with the times, or because Alex Collins can't hang on to the ball. He's had a couple of key fumbles, and Javoris Allen has not. But if you own Collins, I'm not telling you to drop him, but I don't know that you're starting him if you have another option just because he's losing reps. You know, it's one thing if he's getting the goal line touches, which he's not, and then when he gets them, he fumbles. So that's not a good thing to get more goal line touches or stay on the field. John Brown has been really good the first month of the season, and he has stayed healthy, which he never did in Arizona. John Brown is doing everything Michael Crabtree is not. And Joe Flacco is not only roster worthy, but in two quarterback leagues, he's worthy of being your second quarterback. From the Browns' standpoint, we'll see what Baker Mayfield does against a pretty damn good Ravens pass defense. I wouldn't be too excited about starting any of the Browns against this Raven defense. I understand if you're playing Carlos Hyde, and I understand if you're playing Jarvis Landry, but I'd lower my expectations. Jaguars and Chiefs. Let's see what the Jaguars defense does against Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes wasn't lighting it up last week, but when he needed to put together two scoring drives, he did. He also had the rushing touchdown. He also completed a first down pass on third down left-handed. Let's see what the Jaguars do. I'm siding more towards Mahomes in this game than the Jaguars defense. I don't think you're sitting Mahomes. I don't think you're sitting Travis Kelce or Kareem Hunt or Tyreek Hill just because they're playing the Jaguars. If they have a off game, I still think you made the right call because all of those guys can put up huge numbers, and I just don't know that you want to get too cute with those guys. Now, let's take Sammy Watkins, for example. Okay, if Sammy was healthy, I don't know that I'd play him against the Jaguars, all right, because he's kind of at a different level than those big-time talents like Kelce and Hill, who can score from anywhere, or Hunt off a huge game against the Broncos. from the Jaguar standpoint, no Fournette again. Blake Bortles is in a two quarterback conversation, or could be a nice streaming or tournament play. For those of you that lost Fitzmagic and you're looking to plug and play a quarterback this week, Bortles might not be a bad choice. I don't know that Bortles can keep up with Mahomes in this game. It's a curious matchup. Westbrook, Cole, and then to a lesser extent, Moncrief. Nothing I'm really excited about. They're more DFS plays. But I understand any of them being on your roster right now, because without Fournette, the Jaguars have to throw. And that's the game plan. And it should work enough against the Chiefs that there are going to be some passing yards and maybe a couple of passing touchdowns out there. Not excited about plugging and playing TJ Yeldon or Corey Graham. Vikings and Eagles. Vegas doesn't think this will be a high-scoring game. I tend to think it will. You know, the Eagles gave up a lot to Mariota last week, and the Vikings have given up a lot to virtually everybody. You've got, on the Eagles side, you got Alshon Jeffrey, Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz. Also, I think Nelson Agholor is a sneaky play this week. Just a sneaky type play. If you need a plug and play because you lost Mike Evans and you're desperate, or in DFS tournaments. Vikings wise, again, they're, you know, those Tecmo numbers, like I talked about with the Chiefs. Yeah, same thing here. You have no reason to sit a Diggs, a Thielen, a Cousins in this game. Check status on Cook. I wouldn't be excited about playing Cook or Murray in this game, but Murray at least is worthy of consideration if Cook is inactive in this game. From the Eagles running back standpoint, good luck figuring it out. I think the Eagles, it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles at the deadline make another trade for a running back, just like they did last year for Jay Ajayi, because the window of opportunity to win Super Bowls is clearly open for both of these teams. It wouldn't surprise me if both the Vikings and Eagles are making calls about Le'Veon Bell. I'll just say that. Cardinals and 49ers. Josh Rosen was okay. He was better than Sam Bradford last week. Rosen seemed to do enough to allow David Johnson to do a little bit more. You David Johnson owners have been very disappointed with what you've gotten this year. No one else on the Cardinals seems to really be in play. There's no seemingly favorite receiver for Rosen yet. So I don't know that anyone's in play there on the receiving end. I mean, for the Cardinals, I think you're still starting David Johnson and hoping for the best, and you're not playing any other Arizona Cardinals. From the Niners standpoint, Kittle puts up yardage, you know, even from Jimmy G to CJ Beathard. Kittle's a good player, and they're going to continue to throw him the ball. He's probably the best pass catcher they have. And Matt Breida has had a good season, even though he got nicked up. He's still getting most of the reps, and he's still worthy of being an RB2, even though the yardage says he's higher than that. We all know Matt Breida is not an RB1, but if you own him, yeah, you can make the case you're playing him this week. Just keep an eye on his health. Let's see, where are we now? Broncos and Jets. First for the Jets, not excited about playing either running back here. Quincy Enunwa, I guess, is the only play. There's at least a little vibe that Robbie Anderson is becoming relevant as the Jets open up the downfield playbook a little bit, maybe to help Sam Darnold. Broncos off a short week. Broncos on the road. From the Broncos standpoint, yeah, I know I said a few weeks back Case Keenum's getting it done, and now there's kind of a feeling he's not there in Denver, that this might not be working. There's concern that the Broncos overspent on Keenum, and there's even, I guess, some rumbling that Keenum could be benched. I'm not saying in this game, but going forward. I mean, it'd be a pretty drastic move, but let's face it, other than John Elway bringing in Peyton Manning, he hasn't really figured out what to do with a quarterback in a long time. Lindsey continues to put up good numbers in games he doesn't get ejected from. I think that's pushing Royce Freeman, although I wouldn't be starting Royce Freeman. I think if you're starting either of them, it's Lindsey. Emmanuel Sanders is, kind of on the verge. He's back end wide receiver too, but the numbers aren't spectacular. I guess that's why Keenum's getting some of the blame. He overthrew Demaryius Thomas on a play that might have won the game late last week. Keep an eye on Cortland Sutton. He might be a roster stash. Sutton clearly has ability. He makes some spectacular plays, draws some penalties. Just might be someone worth having down the road. I don't know where that road is headed, especially if Case Keenum is going to be pulled. But it seems like the Broncos are trying to find their way offensively. Giants and Panthers, not Sterling Shepard, I guess, and you continue to play Saquon Barkley and you get good results. Here's the thing, though. Because of Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham Jr. isn't getting the downfield looks. He still doesn't have a touchdown like a Julio Jones. That's because Eli is just, here's Saquon, because very few quarterbacks hate to get pressured more than Eli Manning. But Shepard seems to be a legitimate flex-type play. Right now, and that's about all with Evan Engram out for the Giants. You're still playing Beckham, you're trading Beckham. I mean, that's you don't sit Beckham. If you're going to sit him, then trade him, because someone in your league's going to give you something for him. Carolina off the bye week. McCaffrey's yards per carry are up from roughly 3.5 last year to nearly 6 per carry on McCaffrey. No Olsen yet, so Funchess is in play as a wide receiver 2/3/flex, and could be a good game for Cam Newton. Always a threat to run in the end zone and just put up good numbers. Falcons and Steelers. Falcons, worst team in the NFL, defending the catch and run running back. So let's see if James Conner actually has any gas left. He looks out of gas. Can they refill that tank to take advantage of an area where the Falcons struggle? I think this is a real key game for James Conner. If Conner doesn't produce in this game, then the Steelers may have no choice but to take on Le'Veon Bell and just make the best of it. And it may show that James Conner was just not a guy that they can count on to be an every down back. Antonio Brown, obviously, Juju, obviously, and that's about it for the Steelers, other than, if you're playing Ben Roethlisberger, you're still playing Ben Roethlisberger. Falcons, Matt Ryan still putting up very good numbers, one of the top 5 quarterbacks in fantasy. Calvin Ridley gets in the end zone. Julio Jones does not get in the end zone. Further examination of Austin Hooper doesn't show a lot. I think there are a lot better tight end streaming options or tournament plays in daily than Hooper. Mohamed Sanu had a good game and played a lot last week against Cincinnati. The feeling is that, I hate to put it this way, if you're putting Mohamed Sanu in the lineup, it's a really desperate move, and it's not really, or you're finding a way to roster Mohamed Sanu. It's not the way to go. I know you want to have a piece of the Falcons offense, and they are getting Devontae Freeman back, and Coleman is better as a number 2 running back, clearly. Because his role is just better. It reminds me of Marion Barber with the Cowboys, who was a great number 2 running back for the Cowboys. And then once the Cowboys had to make him a number 1, he just couldn't handle it. It's like being a number 2 pitcher in baseball, and then you're the ace, and suddenly you can't handle it. Or a number 2 wide receiver who can't handle being a number 1, an Alvin Harper many years ago when he went from Dallas to Tampa Bay. Coleman's better as a number 2. So Freeman being back actually helps Coleman. Although I don't know that you're playing Coleman this week if you can avoid it. Sanu strikes me as just too much of a dart throw, and you're chasing points from last week. Dolphins and Bengals is the last 1 o'clock game. Would you play any Dolphins? I guess if you're desperate, you play Kenyon Drake, but there's not a lot to hang your hat on there. And in a 2-quarterback league, I guess you can get away with playing Tannehill. But I wouldn't be too excited about it. Bengals-wise, Dalton's there. Dalton's a guy you can stream. Dalton's a guy you can start in a 2-quarterback league. A.J. Green, absolutely. Tyler Boyd, for those of you that have owned Tyler Boyd and been playing him, I don't see any reason why you would change that. He gets targets. And with Tyler Eifert out again for the year, that's more targets to go to Tyler Boyd, potentially. Gio Bernard out, Joe Mixon back in. 4 o'clock games, Raiders, Chargers. This one could be fun. Carr, back in the conversation as a quarterback you can plug and play or play in a two quarterback league until further notice. Amari Cooper. Cook has been probably a top four tight end. You know, we always talk about the top three tight ends in fantasy. Ertz, who hasn't scored. Gronk, who so far. And Kelsey, who had one bad game and since then has been awesome. Cook is in that class right now as a top four fantasy tight end. And Jordy's had a couple of really good games since moving to the slot. Marshawn Lynch just keeps getting volume and touchdowns for the Raiders. From the Chargers standpoint, Melvin Gordon's been phenomenal. A couple of down games for Keenan Allen. He's been bothered by an injury. Phillip Rivers has been putting up Phillip Rivers numbers. Austin Eckler, tournament play. He's getting Austin Eckler's becoming a Tevin Coleman as a number two guy. He's, you know, maybe not start, you know, he's not starting games, but he gets his 10 touches. Maybe it's good for him and good for Gordon. And I keep following Mike Williams. Mike Williams is just one of those that the minute you put him on a roster and then you drop him, and I just don't know. I just don't know what to make of it. They drafted him 7 overall. I guess they're just happy that he's healthy. Rams and Seahawks. Pretty much any Ram, you're playing him in this game. You know, the Legion of Boom is all gone now. And the Seahawks just, they seem to be at a real crossroads. I didn't even think it was going to be this bad. I don't know that Russell Wilson is someone you play, even though he's got to have the ball in his hands to keep up with the Rams, but he's hanging on to the ball as long as Josh Allen is trying to make plays, and he's taking a lot of sacks and doesn't have much to throw to. And the backfield situation for the Seahawks, Mike Davis to me seems like you're chasing points. Yeah, Mike Davis could get some carries this week, but what do you got to go on week to week with Seattle's running back since Marshawn Lynch left? Nothing. Really only 2 4 o'clock games this week. Interesting. Okay. Cowboys Texans, is the Sunday night game. The only Cowboys, you're obviously playing are Elliott, leading what, the league or just the NFC in rushing, and then was on the receiving end of that long pass. You know, Dallas has nobody to throw to when Ezekiel Elliott gets his number called for what, a 30 yard over the shoulder route to win a game for Dallas and set up the game winning field goal. Dak Prescott on the fringe of two quarterback league worthy, but you have better options. Texans, Deshaun Watson's going to do a lot of throwing. He's throwing a lot downfield. Hopkins' volume is consistent. Looks like Will Fuller's going to play. Kute had a great debut last week, but not sure what that – I mean, if Fuller doesn't play games, Kute is in play. If Fuller does play, I don't know what it means for Kute. Probably not a lot. And Lamar Miller looks done. Someone asked me about him within the last 24 hours. He just looks done. That he doesn't have virtually anything left. The Texans still have Alfred Blue. They had Deontay Foreman last year. I think if the Texans were better, you know, like 3-1, they'd be calling about Le'Veon Bell. Because Miller just doesn't have it. So if you own Miller, I'd be pulling him out of your lineup, and I think you're getting close to just saying, you know what, I'd rather take a chance on some other young running back, and you know, maybe he'll get in there because Miller's not going to win you a fantasy league this year. Finally, the Monday night game is Redskins and Saints. Alex Smith in two quarterback leagues worthy of consideration. Adrian Peterson, sure. It's kind of a revenge game for Adrian Peterson, so why not? He's had, of three games this year, he's had two good ones. And Chris Thompson is a PPR option with the Redskins trying to keep up with the Saints. Sure. Jordan Reed amazingly hasn't been hurt seriously this year. I think that's the surprising story of 2018 So yeah, you're playing Jordan Reed. Saints-wise, all the normal names. Michael Thomas has been phenomenal. I know last week the points weren't there, but he's 41 targets through four games. One better than Thielen. Both would have set NFL records through the first four games. Mark Ingram is back. They're going to play Mark Ingram. They might want to give Kamara a little bit of time off. I mean, they tried to do this in the first game with Gillislee, and remember Gillislee fumbled. The Bucs picked it up and ran it in for a score as the Bucs were running up that big number on the Saints. So I think they were reluctant to give Gillislee more time. So Kamara, they didn't wear out Kamara in September because of that early fumble. So yeah, Ingram's going to play. I think at best he's an RB3. Maybe gets a goal line carry or two. But I think more than anything, they're going to use Ingram just so they can manage the reps of Kamara a little bit. And if you're a fantasy owner saying, well, I don't like that, you know, Kamara's workload has been insane the first month. I know it's only his second year, but there's no way he can keep that up. No way. I mean, remember Hunt last year, the first month? And then he dropped off. So, yeah, Ingram will play. I would, if you rostered him, I don't know that you're plugging and playing him unless you need him to fill Jordan Howard's spot this week. Off the disappointment of Jordan Howard last week, presumably being the only Bear that didn't get you fantasy points, that didn't get anybody fantasy points in their win against the Buccaneers. But from the Saints standpoint, hard to know what the role of Ingram is, but yeah, he's going to play, and Kamara won't play as much, but Kamara is still going to be out there plenty. Yeah, it's just Michael Thomas for the Saints pass catchers, although keep an eye on Cameron Meredith. That might be a good tournament play in daily, or if you got an extra roster spot, a stash for later. Ted Ginn's up to some of his old tricks that I'm sure Sean Payton doesn't like, doing some stupid things or dropping balls, and that doesn't help Ted Ginn. All right, any other players that I didn't get to? You can email me. Please don't email me at like 12:30 before the 1 o'clock games on Sunday and expect an immediate response. Give me a little lead time. If you have questions going into Sunday, send your questions before you go to bed on Saturday night. Is that fair? ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters Second. Season in a row, Hooters, the in-season presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. And my thanks to Hooters. And I love at Hooters now, they have the I think it's MVB, most valuable burger, and you build your own burger. And the bread you can choose is either the gluten-free bun, the Kaiser roll, or Texas toast. Check that out and see if it's available at your nearest Hooters location. We'll talk to you after the weekend, and thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast.